So here we are with Josh Fairman, bass man of Sunsquavi. Josh, glad to have you here. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
Oh, yeah. So for everyone out there listening, Josh here, in addition to playing the bass, which, you know, I'm sure mostly all of you are familiar with his work, he's also a producer, and he's got a new project called Lavender Sound out, which I've listened to, and it's fucking awesome. Highly recommend y'all check that out. We got links in the description. And yeah, so Josh, to start this off, what's like the vision behind Lavender Sound?
Lavender Sound, it's just a place to explore electronic music for me and Jake and Jeff. Like, Jake and Jeff have been playing music together for a long time, and they came to me and they wanted to work on some electronic stuff. And it started where I was helping them produce their stuff. And then we just got so involved. It was like, we're all writing and producing together to where it was like, hey, I guess this is basically just like a project. This is like a band. And so it turned into that. And so it's really just a place for the three of us to explore like electronic music and different genres and just have fun and make music. And that's pretty much it.
So when you say explore, like, I want to put that under a microscope a little bit. Like, you know, you talk about making music and it's like you can have an idea like, I heard this one song and I want to make something like that. Or also maybe it's you find this one kind of instrument in Ableton and you want to, you know, see the limits of that. Like when you say explore, like, what are you really doing? Like from a producer standpoint?
Well, it just depends. I mean, there's a thousand different ways to do it, you know, a million different ways to do it, but exploring like, I've been listening to a lot of tech house, let's like make a tech house song or something that's something like that. Or it's like you said, I heard this song, check this out, let's just do something like kind of like that. Or it's like, yo, check out this sample, like this Aretha Franklin thing, like I think we could flip this. And like you see something, you like hear something that makes you think of something even different, you know, but like it takes you on a tangent and you like make that. So if you listen to our record, there's a lot of different genres there. And it's, so we don't like limit ourselves. We're not like, we do house or we do dubstep or we do future bass or whatever. We just kind of make the music that we like and that we're inspired to make. And once it starts becoming something, like once it becomes like a housey track, it's like, you know what? We could do, you know, that other track that has this, where, you know, you like take inspiration and you put it in. So yeah, I just think the exploration is really, there's no one specific genre that we're doing, but it's all just electronic based, produced in Ableton, like with the, you know, at some point the three of us are touching it together, so that's cool.
When you have your producer hat on, you know, I reference like this image of a trash can filled with crumpled up songs that could have been, that just, you know, like for whatever reason weren't up to snuff. And like, I'm curious with you, what you think about a given piece of music, whether it's a timeless classic from, you know, someone like Aretha Franklin or new Detox Unit track or Sunsquavi song, or, you know, you can talk about people like Bill Withers and just timeless music. Like, what are some of the things you think give incredible music its defining quality as being great?
I think what makes a piece of music great is that it can make you feel something. You know, I think when people feel something when they hear a piece of music, like that's when it's great to me. So, and that could range from like deep emotions like love or sadness or longing or loss or whatever to I want to dance or I want to move around or I want to headbang or whatever. If it makes you move, you're feeling something. So it's like, that's what makes it great, I think. That's why, like, you know, Cardi B isn't any less great than, you know, someone like Herbie Hancock or whatever. It's like, you just put one of his songs, one of her songs, it's like they're not any less great if millions and millions of people are feeling that, you know what I mean? And so it's like, I think that's why all these different genres and all this different kind of music can exist and people will like support it, because there's no one style or one thing you can do to make it a song that everyone's going to remember or whatever. But the emotion is a thing. Like you talk about Bill Withers or any of that stuff you said, it's like their songs had emotion and made you feel something. And so whether it's instrumental or with words or, you know, there's different vibes there.
I feel like as a professional musician, it's on your shoulders to constantly create great songs. Like, and we're all human. We go through feelings of like gray seasons where we're just like not so emotionally open like that. And you reference like this technical ability, but then there's also just the ability to translate feeling. And I'm curious, like, can you speak on how you kind of get yourself into a state where you can make great music and what it's like when you're not in that state and what you might do? Like, how important is it for you to be in a certain state to make great music?
I'd say it's important, but like I'm in the more of the habit, like I make music every day. So it's like, whether it's a good day or bad day, I'm like making it. And it kind of, there's those blurred lines of, it's like, let's say I was having a bad day and I made a thing. But then, you know, a year later when that thing's done and everyone's vibing it, like no one knows what happened that day, you know? So like, it's more about just doing your art and doing your craft. And also you might make a thing that takes you 5 minutes that you don't think is that good. And then that's the thing. Everyone's like, oh yeah, play that song, the cow song or whatever. And you're like, no, that was a 30-second joke. They're like, yeah, but that's on TikTok. They're like, I love the cow song. You're like, oh shit. You know what I mean? So it's, I don't know. I think there's a lot of different routes as far as that goes.
I'd love to hear your take on something you think a lot of musicians and producers today might be overlooking with their music and their approach.
Just have an original sound, I guess. I think a lot of people hear something and then they want to make it exactly like that, or they get stuck like imitating. And like when you see the people that you really look up to, they have a distinctive sound that's like unique to them. So I think people are put too much focus on the technical, like too much focus on being the best at doing something instead of being authentic. And I think those, while you could be successful doing both, I think what separates a lot of the artists who like, not like, you know, you can make a living playing a genre of music that you didn't help invent or like move forward, but like the people that move genres forward and like make lasting impressions are usually doing something unique, I think. Mm. Like people should focus on that.
So what are you listening to like these days? Like who are your favorite artists right now? It's March 22nd today.
Lettuce is the best band, I think, right now. I love Lettuce. They're like a funk band, kind of funk. I mean, it's funk, funk fusion. I've been listening to, Daily Bread's on fire right now. And then a bunch of stuff I don't even know. I'd have to like look at my Spotify. Like I'm constantly finding new, like out here checking like who's this. So I've been listening to a lot more like tech house, like just electronic mixes on SoundCloud, and kind of delving into just rare stuff that, like, whatever, you know, you find an artist that's like, you should check this out. Like it's kind of digging my way through that. But and besides that, just everything I'm working on in the studio. So I'm working on like 8 records, so I have to listen to all that too. So it's just a lot. But
do your ears get tired?
Yeah, like sometimes I'm in the car and I just don't listen to the music.
You just listen to your tinnitus?
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think Lettuce is probably my favorite band out right now. They're really great.
Yeah. Check out the, I'm going to include a link. You got Adam Deitch and Jesus. They've both been on this podcast. They absolutely crushed it. We'll include links to those descriptions for any Lettuce fans out there. And
yeah.
So you're talking about how you discover music on Spotify, and I'm really intrigued. And you look at like the last 100 years, and there's just a massive amount of incredible music that's come out. And then you look at like the last 20 years, and the way Spotify has kind of, you know, lowered the barrier to entry for artists to create. And really what that's done is changed genres. Like, no longer do artists have to necessarily fit into a certain box to get a radio play. Like, they can really, you know, you see acts like Sun Squabby, and you mentioned Tech House, and how like just in general, electronic production is opening up so much room for just new genres, blended genres together, like combined genres. And
yeah,
I feel like with, you know, you've got your hand in Lavender Sound, you're working on these different projects as a producer, of course, Sun Squabby. Like, what do you feel like has fundamentally changed in terms of what an artist is able to do with, you know, Ableton and streaming, and in the last 15 years, how technology's advanced, and like, where do you feel music and genres are going?
I mean, the ability to make a professional sounding like piece of music is exponentially changed in the last 15 years. Like, you had to go to a studio, and now if you have a little bit of equipment and a bunch of YouTube experience and good ears, you can make a thing that is just as good as any, you know what I mean, that's right up there in quality. So access is there, that's just never been there before. So it's still, you know, limited. You still have to have a computer, you still need your $600 for Ableton or what, you know. It's not like free, but the level of entry is at a much lower bar. And then distribution, you don't need a record deal, you just need your $50 for whatever service to like distribute what any piece of music that you make. So I mean, it's pretty wild. Like, so now you basically, everyone has access, not everyone, but like a huge chunk of the country or world has access to put their music out, whether it's good or not. So you see people though that innovate with what they have and make incredible stuff, like just with their, it was like, I can't remember the producer, but some like dude made a whole beat on an iPhone, and it was like, you know, it was like this huge thing. I can't remember. I wish I could remember what artist it was. It wasn't, I can't, his name's escaping me, but like, you know, the technology is going so far where the plugin sounds so real and everything sounds so much better now than it did in the, you know, early 2000s when the digital stuff was not quite as honed in. But, you know, I think it's like, as far as what it's going to do the genres, I mean, I don't know. I think, you know, it's always the fusion, you know, taking the blocks of what people did before you and building something new until it's defined as like a new thing. So I think there's going to keep, you're going to have sub genres and more sub genres, and like eventually there'll be like some technology breakthrough where it's like, okay, this is a whole new shit. Like, we'd have never, like, what is the sound? You know, it's like, what? How'd they do that? And they're like, oh yeah, yeah, we use the flux capacitor for the thing or whatever, you know, whatever it is, whatever new technology that makes it, like, you know, or maybe shows are starting to be in surround sound, you know, or like, who knows? Then you're like, who knows what's gonna happen, you know? But it's like, it's going that way where you're gonna have virtual like spaces and things like that, like getting incorporated to, you know, which is cool. I don't know. That's like that's a tough question. I don't know really.
Hi, I'm Katie, producer of Weird Music Podcast. I want to give a big shout out to Voodoo Ranger. Live dangerously.
Well, if you made it this far, thank you for listening. Just want to let y'all know we've got these hand-dyed Ice Dyed Weird Music Podcast hoodies and also tees. If you'd like one, let us know. We'd love to get you one. And a big thank you to the geniuses over at Thrax CBD for sponsoring us with their amazing products. Also want to give a big thank you to J&J Distribution, Ohio's premier Delta 8 and CBD wholesale supplier. Retailers, check out their brands Cloud 8, Compassionate Buds, and Zaza. Got links in the description. And yeah, much love, y'all. Now back to the episode.
Even just looking like 3 to 10 years into the future, do you have a vision for how you see popular music evolving, or even like subgenres of music? If we think back 15 years ago, there's been such an evolution in what is hip. And I'm curious, like with you being really on the cutting edge of like, you know, this culture, like where do you see it going?
Man. Well, I hope that I see I guess a positive thing that I see happening is the collaboration of like instruments and live performance with the electronic, and like the molding in that line of what is a band and what is a producer or DJ will continue to be blurred. Mm-hmm. Until hopefully at some of these festivals, like, you know, that you see like EDC or like, it's like the big European ones, like Lost, whatever.
Tomorrowland. Yeah, and then we got Lost Lands.
Stuff like that. But then all of a sudden you see people with like some instruments up there, some shit. And they're like, what? Like people are like, what? You know what I mean? Because like right now, like the odds of there being a band at one of those things is like basically doesn't even happen. But it's like eventually the line between electronic music and bands is going to be like, what is it? And everyone's like, I don't know. They got 4 computers, but they're shredding. I'm not sure. Like, you know, people always tell us, like, sound like there's like 10 people up there. It's like, dude, well, there's a lot of the computers, a lot of dudes. Once you start looping, once you start looping stuff, you know. So, like, that's what Sun Squabby does. That's Lavender's on that same type of path. Like, we have synthesizers and guitar and bass and, no, I wouldn't say it's similar setup to what Sun Squabby, because like what Kevin's doing is like really advanced with Ableton and his looping and stuff. But it is a fusion of like live instruments and DJing. And so I kind of think that's like the way it's going as far as like something that I'm interested in pursuing and like happy about. Like, I think that's cool. I think there's going to continue to be more music that doesn't necessarily sound like to me, like doesn't necessarily sound like melodic, or like it's like more sound based, where people are like, this is some crazy music, like, and it's like you're like, it's like it has a rhythm to it, but you're like, is it music? Like, I don't even know. Like, I've heard some trippy shit where I'm like, I don't even know, like some of this deep bass stuff which is like pulsing and, you know,
that's why I say we're in the bathtub right now.
Yeah, and I think some of that stuff is going to get more and more popular, especially when it's combined with like virtual experiences and like, you know, spatial experiences. Like, you know, they have like cool little tents or things with, like, you know, quadraphonic or whatever speakers and things like that. It can be cool. But so I think, yeah, I think the boundary of what is considered music is going to change, and I think hopefully we'll see more of this fusion of bands and DJing and producing.
I want to jump to the side a little bit, talk about touring, like,
okay. Yeah,
so I'm gonna like paint a scene. So you're on this long 3-month tour with some Squabby. It's week 8. Okay. All the days are blurring together. Okay. And you know, it's, for lack of a better term, things don't just necessarily feel fresh, you know, when you're getting out there. It's kind of, things are feeling kind of gray. And like in a moment like that, what have you learned about staying fresh and like how to kind of fight against the current of, you know, all the negative aspects of getting no sleep and X, Y, and Z with how tour can wear you down, but then you have to be on stage in front of hundreds of people, like showing out, like, what have you learned about how to do that successfully?
Well, there's like I think of like three main things. One is like mental health, one is physical health, and the other one is just like what I've been trying to do my whole life is like play. So it's like just doing that as hard as you can every time, regardless of either of those things. But I'd say when you're on a big tour like that, it's like try to have some healthy food or habits, you know, like I'm always like trying to, I'll eat like, I'm like, I need to eat something green, I need to eat some fruit, and I need to like just try to be some part of this day needs to be healthy, like get some exercise or whatever. And then like mentally, like just be mental health wise, like appreciating the moments that you're having and the opportunities that you have. Cause like you might not realize, like you might play this huge gig at this awesome place, and you might not realize that like you're never, well, I don't want to say never, but like you might not ever get to play there again. And you're like, oh, am I, riders all fucked up. And it's like you're in like some magical place that everyone you've ever looked up to has played, and you get to play there. And it's good to, and you know, I don't always practice this. It's like what the idea is like appreciating where you're at and what you're doing and how lucky we are as musicians to get to like live a life like funded by the artistic endeavor, which is like a really cool thing. So that mentally, just trying to maintain that. And then there's just like this competitive part that I feel like a lot of successful people have, where it's like in the music industry, where it's like when it's time, game time, it's like you just do what you gotta do. Like this next weekend we literally play Thursday, Friday night, and then after Friday night show we have to drive 7 hours through the night to a 9 a.m. load in through a snowstorm from Steamboat to like Utah somewhere. So like we're gonna literally drive, like play two shows, drive through the night, play our third show. And like that's like the type of stuff you have to do, and it's gonna suck, but no matter how tired we are when we get on stage, we're just gonna like do the thing, you know. And I'm gonna look out at some mountains and be like, wow, this is beautiful, oh my god. And then afterwards I'll be like very, very tired, and it'll suck. But that's like, it's just maintaining some type of balance between the mental and the physical, and then just the determination to keep going.
What about in the situation, like being a great bandmate? Like, what have you learned is most important with being a great friend and a great bandmate when, you know, maybe one of your guys is in a little bit of a gray space mentally on the road?
Yeah. Well, I'm still learning. And like, I guess if you ask a lot of my band members, they'd probably be like, oh yeah, he was great.
What would your higher self say?
But like, yeah, no, I'm great. No, but just seeing people and trying to have empathy for their situation. So like if someone's not doing good, like trying not to press their buttons or giving them space or giving them support when they need it. Trying to communicate clearly, you know, just try to think about the people around you. And like, it doesn't always work. You know, I find myself having a lot of like those behind, you know, I've been on tour for a long time. And you have those moments where you're like, oh man, I did do that. Like, you're like, fuck, I wasn't thinking, you know, like, cause you are tired or whatever, but just like acknowledging it and trying to, whatever issues come up, just trying to like move past them as quickly as possible and just be supportive for each other. Cause you're like, it's like going to war out there in some ways. Like everything except for playing the show is like a battle.
If you had to be ruthlessly honest with me, mm-hmm. what would you say is really the thing that brings you fulfillment and like purpose and meaning when life just fucking sucks?
What gives me purpose and fulfillment when life sucks? Well, like being alive and being able to experience like love and being and like playing at a high level and like making music is like a form of that. So like I definitely turn to music when shit, when stuff is bad, and but like being able to feel or entertain the feeling of like love, even if it's in the form of like friendship or like family, not just like romantic, but like romantic as well. Like, I think those, that's what would keep something going, like dark times. You know?
Like, so jumping off the hyper emotional, jump away from philosophizing super hard. So like you know, you mentioned the game, like being competitive out here, like it's very competitive to be a professional artist. And what does getting better look like for you currently?
Getting better at being a professional artist, learning how to document more of the shit that I do every day, because everyone's like, oh, you need contents. Like, I literally do this every day. But then I look at my Instagram, like, oh, I haven't made a post in like however many weeks or whatever. So I'm not good at that type of stuff. And I want to get better at that because it's like a newer phenomenon. Like you're talking about the last 10 years, it's like being a professional artist. Also, you have to be a professional promoter. Unless you're on a really big label that has people that do all that for, you know what I mean? Like at some, when you get to a certain level, I'm sure you don't have to worry about that. But like kind of dealing with that stuff, better at time management, like scheduling time to make the art and not just like help other people do it. Cause I'm in the studio a lot with other projects. So it's easy to be like, oh, I have a day off, I'll make some money, when it's like, actually that should have been the day I was in the studio on my, working on myself, you know? So that type of balance, work balance, those are things I'd want to improve on. And then also like always just getting funkier and like trying to be better at the bass still.
Always getting funkier.
Yeah, always.
Who thought it was even possible? Less notes.
Always, yeah, it's always possible. Like, and right when you think it's not possible, you hear some shit, you're like, it's definitely possible.
Tell me, throw out some, what do you, when you say you, when you hear some shit, what's some shit you've heard recently, specific songs that you just stick out in your mind right now is just like something that really stuck with you?
Specific songs.
If you had to pick three songs right now that you just admire.
Oh my God. Like Unfunky UFO by Mothership Connection, Parliament, you know? It's just like super, just insanely funky. Like, okay. Like, I was on Jam Cruise and I was sitting with Adam Deitch and he was playing me demos for the new Lettuce album. And it was like just insane. I was like, every time I was like, oh, that's, I mean, I don't even know why. Like, I gotta go back to the drawing board here. Like, this shit's fucking insane, you know? So that was a pretty cool recent experience where I was just totally blown away. And then some other new stuff. Wish I could remember all these DJs' names. I've been listening to a lot of stuff where I'm just like, I don't even know who it is. But like you hear like a production trick, you're like, how did he make that sound? How is that sound made? And you're just trying to imagine in your head like how that came about, you know? And so that happens a lot with the electronic scene. You're like, okay, well, here we go. There's some new shit to figure out.
Well, yeah. Josh, thank you for joining me here, man.
Of course.
You know, definitely cool to hear where things are going, you know?
Yeah.
Well, man, so if you listen this far, we got links in the descriptions. Like I said, Lavender Sound, check that out. Josh, anything else you want to, you know, get fans excited for who've listened this far?
Yeah, just look out for new Lavender Sound music, new Sun Squabby music. Support the touring bands out there. Buy those tickets early for all your favorite bands. You know, keep it going. Let's go. Thank you, Amen. Guys.
We'll have a Sun Squabby's tour link here, too, and get those tickets, y'all. Josh, cheers, my man.
Cheers.